Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
Good. Delighted to be here. I'm excited for today's conversation. I think, I've been lucky enough to be able to say this reasonably frequently lately, and that I'm excited that we're getting to cover a relatively new topic on the show. 300 and some odd episodes in, I don't think we've ever quite talked about this.
No, and you know, I think especially for a lot of regional manufacturers and those with a, you know, perhaps a long family history in a particular community, they might be deeply involved in their communities, you know, volunteering and fundraising and contributing in that way, but it's not often considered to be the thing that you're kind of going to market with to truly influence your prospects.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really I'm excited for today's guest. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So joining us today is Cynthia Barnes. Cynthia is the Global Marketing Content Specialist and Community Relations Manager at Clark Material Handling. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Cynthia.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Cynthia, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and thank you for joining us. I wonder if you could start by maybe telling our listeners a bit about you and how you ended up at Clark.
Sure, and I think this will really enlighten the rest of the conversation, because most of my career background has not actually been in marketing and has definitely not been in the manufacturing realm. I actually came from the nonprofit world. I did nonprofit development, which is mostly fundraising and the marketing that's tied to specific fundraising, bringing in the dollars to keep nonprofits going. And I joined Clark because they are looking for a community relations person who knows the community needs and can help direct our very thriving philanthropy fund and volunteer program. And so that's how I came to Clark. And then slowly over time, it became as much about marketing the forklifts as it did for me actually getting our team in the community volunteering. So I've had an interesting journey with forklifts and material handling, and I'm very excited to talk today about how I've been able to combine how we give back to our community with some of the direction that we take with our marketing decisions.
Very cool. Can you give us a bit of background on Clark as well? You know, you certainly, I think you say the word forklift and everybody's like, aha, but that may not necessarily be everything to the business.
Oh, I completely understand. I was there when I started at Clark. I interviewed and had to ask, you know, what specifically is material handling? What is this industry? And it's been a wild and enlightening journey. So Clark Material Handling Company has been around for over 100 years. Clark's claim to fame is that we were the inventor of the forklift in 1917. So we have a very long and strong history in America and throughout the globe. We expanded and outside of the material handling realm for a while and then decided to very much specialize in our forklifts. So we are a global company. We have affiliates all over the world. We are now a South Korean company, but we are very much an American brand. And we like to leverage that influence in the decisions that we make in terms of building these relationships in the communities, both in America and in around the world.
Yes, there's a lot to cover here. I mean, it's just interesting to me that the people that in some ways invented the category, you know, some would think, oh, you don't need to find an innovative way to compete at all. I mean, you invented the forklift. So I just find it fascinating that you folks are really leaning into community relations as a key differentiator in the marketing. I guess where to start with that? First things first, is that just kind of, has it always been kind of a thrust of the firm, or was it that the philanthropic side of the firm kind of operated a bit separate from the brand and marketing side, and then they've come together over time?
Yes. So Clark's marketing strategy has honestly not been to use our philanthropy efforts to sell forklifts. We give back to the community because it's the right thing to do. And we really brand ourselves as the American brand, as an, quite frankly, over-engineered American truck that when you need somebody's help on the phone, you call and you're going to talk to somebody who probably works a couple of desks away from me. It's going to be helping you out. Like, we are accessible. We're an American brand. We have the history. That's really how we have been marketing ourselves. The philanthropy has very much been separate, where we decided a number of years ago that it's very important to give back in our community. And we really want to be able to emphasize that we are in the business for making, designing, selling forklifts, but we're also in the business of giving back to the community. And that really, the reason that that came about is when our company got purchased by Chairman Bake back in 2003. This is a gentleman who grew up in Korea in the time of the Korean War, and as a young child, he ended up getting orphaned. It's a very amazing long story, and I'm going to probably butcher the details, so I'm going to keep it very light and broad. But as a child, he got orphaned. He got separated from his family in a village where he didn't know anybody and was reliant upon strangers to survive, and he ended up kind of being taken in by the U.S. Army, kind of by some servicemen who would pay him to do some odd jobs and give him some money so that he could eat and stay alive. And eventually that led to him starting a hat business, which then became a very large international hat business. And that grew into multinational businesses of various sorts, including hats, media, forklifts, vans, like you name it. He and his family are involved. And so he became very successful. But one thing that as he grew in his business success, he always knew that the only reason that he was alive, much less successful, is because of the kindness of strangers. And so it's always been very important to him as an individual and to his family to give back to communities and help other people out. So there are orphanages that our larger parent company owns all around the world that are specifically designed to give back to help others in the way that others helped the owner of our company. And so at Clark, you know, in America specifically, we're not going to run an orphanage. We don't, you know, that is not our area of expertise. There are plenty of organizations who do that better than we could possibly do it. But what we can do is find the needs in the community and give back and support in the ways that we can, whether it be education, basic needs, you know, healthcare, you name it. We want to get involved where the needs are and where we can help people out. And so that's been very separate from our marketing strategies, but what I've found as I've gotten more and more involved in the marketing side is when we do things like social media, when we talk to our dealers, they are very interested in the human side of our business. I mean, we can talk specs, we can talk the details of our forklifts, we can show pictures of our forklifts that look just about like any other forklifts from a picture. The colors will change, but they all have forks. They all do the same stuff. But what really differentiates us is our people and is our heart. And so as we are changing our strategy to humanize the brand, because that's where the industry is telling us there's that opening. This is what we're interested in seeing and hearing from you. It really has brought those two areas together for us.
You know, I think that's something that I bet an awful lot of, particularly family-owned manufacturing enterprises can probably relate to, but others as well. I mean, the number of just long-standing manufacturing brands that I've spoken with that would articulate in much the same way as you just did, as around the why they give back to the community. And they're not doing it with a true business objective in mind. And I think it is often the marketer in the enterprise that's seeing the opportunity to connect these dots a little more. And I appreciate that there's always a concern that you don't want to ever come across as you're doing the charitable work exclusively for profitable gain. But so I find it fascinating that you're doing this work, that you're seeing that, look, there's a desire for a more human brand here in this space. And every time we talk about the work that we do in the community, we seem like we're filling that void in the market. I bet there's an awful lot of manufacturers that can identify with that and will take some inspiration from maybe how you're thinking about bringing these things together or how you have.
I think your point about the marketer being the one who often sees that as the thing, I think in a lot of cases, in a lot of organizations, the responsibility for this kind of thing is often downloaded on the marketer, and they're not coming at it from the same perspective as Cynthia, where, you know, with your background in fundraising and all of that and seeing how that is a differentiator, I think a lot of marketers may just be seeing it as, you know, something else that they have to do, you know, or something else that's been given to them as a project. And I think it's really interesting to see that as a core value of differentiation too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I really started wanting to share, and this primarily was done initially through like LinkedIn specifically, and my intent to market what we're doing actually was, the goal was not to market the forklifts. The goal is to say, here's how we're giving back to the community. So you should be doing the same thing in your company too. See what we're doing. You can do it too. These organizations need your help. Here's some ideas of how we're giving back and how we're contributing. So the idea of actually trying to sell forklifts, we'd always say, we're not selling any forklifts, until I had a nonprofit purchase one of our forklifts. And I said, okay, we now can't say that anymore because they saw our efforts and then they purchased one of our forklifts, thankfully. But that's still not the point. The point was initially with the marketing to say, this is what we're doing, so other companies step up your game. You know, we don't want to be the one setting the bar. We want you to raise it, and then we come in and say, okay, well, we need to do better ourselves. But over time, the way I've thought about it is it's really just this tangible extension of what our core values are as a company: the safety, this reliability, this service, this accessibility to humans who want to help you out. We have talent that we attract to come work for us because they are purpose driven. They see how we're giving back to the community, and they want to be a part of an organization that cares, because quite frankly, if you care about giving back to the community, you also care about the work that you're doing. You care about the engineering that you're putting into these forklifts, the service, the customer service that you're providing to people. You care on all levels. And so we are truly attracting a workforce that cares. And a lot of that is because of our forklifts and because of our history and our legacy. And a lot of that is because we are a company that gives back.
So many people that I've heard do this, use community relations as a business strategy. It's typically done on the employee side, and it's done for community visibility, frankly, to be seen as an employer of choice. I don't think that there's anything untoward about that. But Cynthia, that's the first time I've heard somebody translate, no, if they are attracted to us because we care, they're going to care enough to do a better job, because they're the type of people that actually care about caring. I've never seen those dots connected before.
Yeah, and so that's not marketing our forklifts. That's kind of really marketing the company to attract talent. But absolutely, it is the number of employees, when I talk to them through like a new hire orientation process, the number of people that have told me that, you know, they applied to the job, but then they started looking up the company, and now they really want to work here because they saw our page that's Clark Raising Hope, which is the philanthropy program, and they saw that, and they said, this is where I want to be now. It's astounding.
It's really interesting because, I mean, there's an awful lot of manufacturers, you know, around the U.S. and around the world that are struggling to attract talent, and I don't think I've heard any kind of consider this as the mechanism to attract talent. You know, like you may have single-handedly figured out how to solve, you know, the worker attraction crisis amongst manufacturers.
Yes, but it has to be authentic. That's the thing. It absolutely has to be authentic. You can't come in and say corporate citizenship. You know, corporate citizenship is the lingo, but you have to live and breathe it as a company. It has to be truly a core value. It has to be top-down driven. It can't be the HR person or the marketing person running around trying to get the company to do stuff. It has to be top-down, one of the core values that you live and breathe and you don't just say in order to work.
Well, Cynthia, I appreciate that you mentioned that you know, Clark's the longstanding American brand, and I certainly understand the thrust behind that. But how does this commitment to the community come to life more globally, or does it? I appreciate that the ownership has varied business interests globally where that would come to life. But for Clark as a brand itself, do you extend this kind of community relations approach to other global markets? And if so, how does it change?
So we do leave it up to the global affiliates to really focus and find the areas to give back. Clark Europe is very strong about giving back in their areas. They do similar programs as to what we do. What I find is there are certain times that we do have just international crises that require a concerted effort that we will come together, and it will come down from the Bake family to ask us to get together and send funds in, send supplies to help an effort. The last time this happened was during the Ukraine-Russia conflict. And we absolutely all say, you know, what do you need? What can we send you? And how can we get involved and help? But ultimately, with the affiliates, it's we understand, just as every manufacturing market across the world is different, every need for forklift in America varies from what the needs are in Mexico, what the needs are in Germany, what the needs are in you know, any country in Australia. It changes, but so do the needs of what the communities need as well too. So what we find is the best thing to do is to empower affiliates to either develop funds, develop volunteer programs amongst their employees, but to have that support and to provide the way forward for each affiliate to give back and feel empowered to give back. That's the most important thing.
In the lead up to the show, I was looking at the Clark website and I looked at the Raising Hope area, not realizing that that was kind of the arm, the philanthropic arm of it. And you know, there's 30 odd organizations that you folks have helped, I'm guessing, in the last little while, you know, and I'm sure that number is growing over time. How do you structure the Raising Hope initiative internally? Because I believe everybody contributes to that in some way, shape, or form, yes?
So this actually has changed recently. We've made some adjustments to the program. So it's always in flux. We kind of just see what the needs are and what the employees want to do, what the dealers want to see from us. And we use these things to guide what the Clark Raising Hope program is. There, some of the core elements are we do give each of our employees, at least in North America, we give each of our employees, we call it VPTO, volunteered paid time off. And we provide currently 8 hours each year for our employees to go volunteer in the community. Now, you'll find a lot of companies do something similar to that. What we also do is actively find opportunities for our employees to volunteer. So we don't just leave it upon each and every employee to, you know, go volunteer at, you know, serving soup at the soup kitchen. What we do is we say, hey, once a month we are going over to the men's homeless shelter every second Thursday of the month, and we put together a team to go serve. Who wants to come this month? I recently went down to our Dallas location, and we worked with a nonprofit down there who came on site, and we had, I believe, 17 employees get together in our training center and put together these little dog interactive toys that are made with cloth that you put treats in, and our employees step, you know, set aside a couple of hours of their day to come together and create these little pads for these dogs that support a nonprofit, and that counted as volunteer time. And we did it on site because I knew if we leave it up to employees alone to go find volunteer time, they're less likely to engage. They want to give back, but they're not going to actively seek ways to not be at work, which is surprising, but they won't. So what we do is we create these opportunities for them to volunteer, and as often as possible in team building environments as well, so that they do get to interact sometimes with their own team. So recently, some of our engineering guys went and did their annual volunteer project at a local children's home where they use their engineering skills to build structures and put together metal furniture and things like that. We also do cross-functional so that you're working with people who maybe you don't speak to that often. And this develops very strong camaraderie so that our different departments don't get siloed, because now we have these better opportunities for interaction that aren't specifically about problems that are going on. And so it works out really well to have this volunteer structure that is not only you get this volunteer time, but you do actually have coordination of volunteer efforts.
I think that's an important addition, you know, and it seems so simple in hindsight, but that's incredibly powerful. So many brands stop at the we've identified 8 hours of volunteer time a year. You can take it if you want. Never shall it be mentioned again. And it just allows us to say something nice and community-minded when we're putting out an employment ad. But it's clearly not, when it's part of the core values, it's actioned differently.
Exactly.
And you're embodying it differently. I think that's a minor twist on, you know, it's not that much more support of the initiative to make it, you know, triply impactful, I would suggest.
And that makes all the difference, quite frankly, to be able to do that. So, yeah, so that's our volunteer side. We do actually also have a monetary side of our philanthropy, too, because it's really hard to just go out and volunteer and not have any money that you can give to support nonprofits as well. We always say we are a volunteer-driven program, but ultimately dollars do matter as well. And so we have this fund, we call it the Clark Raising Hope Fund, and we take contributions. Most of our dealers participate, so they've agreed to, when they sell certain models of forklifts, to then make a donation to this fund. Clark will match their donation as well to 100%. And then for a long time, that was it. That was how we funded, how we give back to the community. Employees started getting out and volunteering at places saying, how do I give? How do I donate diapers to this women's shelter? You know, how can I get involved on a deeper level? And so we decided to do a payroll deduction option for any employees that choose to volunteer. And so those employees are called the Champions Club. And we get together a couple times a year, have lunch, and talk about where the money goes. Employees will email me with suggestions of nonprofits that they want to get involved in. And we look together to see what kind of volunteer opportunities that we can work out, what kind of monetary needs these organizations might have. And so it really is led by just a couple of people, but driven by a large number of our employees who give money, who then have a stake and a say into what our values are at Clark, of where we want to give money and where we want to support.
Now, I see the, as I mentioned, the Raising Hope area on the website, but I'm wondering how does this come to life when you're competing on a deal, or you know, when, in terms of you know, people are comparing your forklifts against others or things like that, how are they learning about this? How is it baked into to the marketing and sales apparatus?
So for the most part, it is very passive. We don't like to really use this as a strong selling point. To me, it's more about establishing our brand identity. And so it's seeing you know, highlight reels of videos or pictures of volunteer projects that we post on our social media or on our website. It's keeping our dealers informed so that when our dealers are selling our trucks, they can talk about what differentiates Clark from some of our competitors, and that can be one of the ways. I could name a few different specific instances that have been brought to my attention that, oh, this company chose to purchase Clark from one of our dealers because they share our values. And that's a really good feeling to know it's not just about the price. It's not just about the specs. It's they're purchasing because they see themselves in us and want to support a company that has those shared values. So it's not in your face. It's not something that you should buy from the company that does good. That's not what it's about. I'm not trying to guilt you into purchasing Clark because, oh, we're going to feed some families this Christmas because you've bought a truck from us. That is not it at all. It is about just saying, hey, this is important to us. This is a part of who we are. This is a part of what makes our company great, and we'd love it if...
Cynthia, I don't know if this is an odd question or not, but I'll ask it anyway, as I want to do. I'm thinking that you may be uniquely positioned to answer this because you've worked in the nonprofit side before coming to Clark. And you know, I think a lot of people in the for-profit world look at the nonprofit world and think of it almost as being somewhat static. Like, they feel like they understand it, but you know, my guess is things change there every bit as much as they change in the for-profit world. I'm curious what advice you might have to a brand that is looking to deepen their connection with the nonprofit world. Like, you know, is there anything that's changing in their world in the last 5 years or the last year, whatever, or where it's going, that we need to be mindful of how we interact with nonprofits and maybe think about them in a different way?
Sure. Well, a few things that I could just kind of give a few directions of is, first of all, you could reach out to just about every community has an organization, like a foundation, that helps give out community money, that helps give out endowed funds that you could reach out to. And that's going to be a more neutral party as opposed to just reaching out to any old nonprofit and talking to them and saying, what are the local needs in this community? We have one here locally where I'm at in Kentucky that has been a very strong guiding point that can get together a few times a year to really talk about the trends and the changing needs. And so if you can find one of those local community foundations, that would be an excellent place to start. The biggest trends generally that I can see in America going on are ones that probably anybody could guess. It is housing prices skyrocketing and that impacting housing and the homeless population. There's a lot more people who have housing that's not secure. And so anything that is near that area, where whether it be simply having, you know, food support, talking to specific homeless shelters, it could be programs trying to prevent homelessness, to get people before they lose their apartments or homes. Any nonprofit in that sector, I would strongly suggest reaching out to and engaging with. Food insecurity is always going to be a great place to start as well, too. That is not going to go away anytime soon. And so I would always say, at the very least, reach out to your local food pantry and see how you can help, whether it be food drives or whether it be monetary, or most of them usually have a very robust volunteer program as well to get engaged with. And then finally, the last one that I'll mention is more of a long-term solution versus responding to changing needs, and that is early childhood education. Because if you improve childhood reading levels, and if you get more people who reach the third grade reading level on time, that is going to drastically impact their risk of being on these various nonprofit needs. You know, they're not going to be nearly as likely to be homeless or you know, have job insecurity, food insecurity, domestic violence issues, like you name it. they're going to be at a reduced risk of just about any of those things if they can match, if they can reach those reading levels on time. So anytime I can support any type of early childhood education endeavor, I'm going to see what we can do to help that.
I really appreciate that advice, Cynthia. I think there's something that you said earlier on, too, that I think is key. It's the idea that you come with money, not just with the volunteers. You know, I think it can be, I've seen a few folks try to do these initiatives a bit more on the cheap, or think that they're going to get a huge bang for the buck reputationally. And, you know, the not-for-profits dearly love to have the volunteer help, no question, but, you know, money goes a long way too. And I think that was really strong advice. And I do think that it's well taken, this notion of, you know, who are the organizations that help distribute funds across a community, et cetera, as they can help you kind of maybe work past some internal biases or something of that sort, and ensure that it's going to the right use. It's been a fascinating conversation, Cynthia. Thank you. It's really interesting, the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's something that's kind of come about organically, that we never sat out and intended this to be a marketing strategy. And I wouldn't even necessarily say it's a marketing strategy, but I would say it is very impactful on our marketing efforts to focus on community relations and make sure that how we give back to the community is always staying top priority for the company.
That's really wonderful. Thanks so much for your insight.